plug it. There you go.
الحمد لله وكفاه والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى اما بعد واعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقل ربي زدني علما وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لن يشفع مؤمن من خير يسمعه حتى يكون منتهاه الجنه وقال عليه الصلاه والسلام ان من اشراط الساعه ان يرفع العلم وكما قال عليه الصلاه والسلام اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما باركت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد رب اشرح لي صدري يسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا وانفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. My dear respected brothers and elders and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi.
Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us the blessed tawfiq, for allowing us to participate in this Jumu'ah. We ask Allah azza wa jal that He rectify our hearts, He purify our intentions, and make us people from the Ahlul Jannah. He make it that every single person who is praying Jumu'ah today, Allah to accept all the Jumu'ahs, Allah to forgive them for all their sins, and whatever problems the Muslims are facing throughout the world, may Allah to alleviate and solve their problems. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. My dear respected brothers and elders and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, mashallah, this new year that we're coming into. And subhanAllah, one of the most pertinent things that comes up at this time is that people often ask about the current events, situations that are happening in the world. And they say, nothing is changing, this is changing, this is not changing, this is not changing. They say that nothing is changing, this isn't changing, this isn't changing. And often these people are very active in, we'll call it quote-unquote social justice, right? We'll call it social justice, right? So, you know, subhanAllah, one of the things is just, many people are very, they have a lot of good intentions. So often when someone comes up to me and asks me this question about, this is happening in the world, what are we doing about it, right? Like, for example, the situation of Kashmir or the situation in India. And these are very big situations, I'm not denying it, and I'm not saying that it's not an important situation. But I ask the person, I say that, okay, is it in your da'ira, is it in your realm of influence that you can actually change the situation here? Right? No matter what can you do for the situation? And many a times the brother will say that, oh, we can protest, we can say this. I'm like, okay, that's fine. I'm not denying that. But can you change the situation? I say, no, I can't. I'm like, okay, so are you responsible on Qiyamah for the situation? He said, no, what are you responsible for? To make dua. I ask him, I say that, did you pray Fajr today in the masjid? Say, no, I didn't. I don't go to that masjid. I'm like, why? Because I hate the masjid, those people in the masjid. I'm like, so did Allah do something wrong to you? You know, like, you might hate so-and-so brother in the masjid. That's whatever. Everyone hates somebody, whatever. May Allah give us a good heart, inshallah, so we resolve everything. But the idea is that you despise the masjid because why? Because someone said something wrong, but did Allah do anything wrong to you? The one who can solve the problem of Kashmir in India is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you and I make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we rectify ourselves, we fix ourselves, then for sure you can create a change. So I asked him, I said, did you pray Qunut Nazila? Qunut Nazila is the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Whenever any calamity struck the ummah, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would stand up in Fajr Salah. And after the ruku'ah Fajr, in the second raka'ah, the Prophet salatu would make it. And we do it very regularly in this masjid, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. We try our best to make dua, because why? Because that's what we're responsible for. So I asked the brother, I said, do we do what we're supposed to do? Are we just trying to shoot here and there and trying to figure out how to solve the problem? What happens is what? A lot of this is good intentions. It's all good intentions. I don't deny anyone's intentions. A lot of times we just don't have the knowledge for it. So what is this example like? It's a very good example of this. There's one brother, mashallah, he said his pants were too long, they go past his ankles. So he went to his wife and said, oh honey, please, can you cut my pants a little bit so it comes above the ankles? You know, just cut it a little bit. She said, sure honey, I'll do it, no problem. And so she forgets. Like, the normal routine, right? She forgets, no problem. And he's like, then he sees a couple of days go by, he doesn't want to go and tell his wife again, mashallah, good husband. So he decides to go to his mother now. He goes, oh mother, my pants are a bit long. Could you cut them so that way they come above the ankles, mashallah? She goes, yeah, inshallah, don't worry, son, I'll do it. No problem. What do you think happens? She forgets too. Okay, so she forgot. Okay, so now a couple of days go by. He doesn't want to tell his mother again, obviously. So he goes to his daughter. Says, oh, daughter, please, can you just cut my pants a little bit so they come above the ankles? And then they go again, and then the daughter says, the same thing happens. Abuji, I'll do it. And then she forgets as well. Then he goes to his sister and says, you're my last hope here. Can you please cut the pants and just cut them above? She says, yeah, I'll do it. Then she forgets as well. All four of them forget. Then the wife remembers. Then she goes to the pants, like, oh, my husband told me to do this so many days ago. And then she goes and starts to cut the pants. Cuts it like a good 5 inches above, mashallah. Then what happens? Subhanallah, the mother remembers. Mother's like, oh, he told me to cut the pants. So then he goes and she starts to cut the pants. And then the daughter remembers. And then she goes and she cuts the 5 inches up. And then what happens is what? What do you think? Sister remembers too. What do you think she did? So he comes home and he just sees underwear. Would you deny that any of them, would you say that any of them had bad intentions? No, all of them were good intentioned. But they didn't have the knowledge or the understanding of what to do. If they saw that the pants were going up, they should have probably stopped way back when. But because we don't have the knowledge for a lot of these things. We don't have a lot of knowledge for a lot of these things. I asked one of these brothers who was so active in a lot of things. He said, come into masjid, let's go pray salah. He said, no, I'm napak right now. I'm like, napak? What does that even mean? You're like, do you even know what that means? You're just saying a word. You're saying, he said, I'm impure, I'm najis. What are you talking about, you're najis? What does that even mean? You can't, well, is there something like, you actually have a certain amount of thing on your clothing? There's a certain amount which is allowed, right? You can have a certain amount and you can still pray salah, right? He's like, no, I'm impure, I can't come in. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, this is what happens. We have a very terrifying and terrible situation right now. What is the situation? We don't have any ulum. We have no knowledge in this community. In this entire state of Massachusetts, I came from New York. And you could say, mashallah, New York has a certain step above a lot of other states. Because of the fact that, alhamdulillah, there are a lot of ulama there, a lot of scholars there, a lot of madaris there, a lot of institutes of learning. The biggest one, Darul Ulum, there has about 500 students. About 300 of them are in Hibs. You know, mashallah. Alhamdulillah, may Allah allow Massachusetts to expand and grow. But we have a lot in, mashallah, New York. I came over here and I saw this entire place to be dead in terms of knowledge and Islamic education. Right? A lot of people don't know the basic rules of stuff. When I asked one brother, he said, I've been praying salah in my car for like a couple of years. I'm like, how have you been praying in your car? He said, I just pray in the, you know, I just pull over and just pray inside my car. I'm like, no, you have to stand. Qiyam is a rukun of prayer. Your prayer is not valid unless you're standing. Right? And, you know, and then another masjid here is saying that music is halal. Another one is saying that, oh yeah, we took this masjid on mortgage, on a riba mortgage. I'm like, la ilaha illallah, like as if no one seems to understand any of the basic protocols of deen, right? Or don't worry, brother, everything is halal. All the meat is halal in the market. Like, we're in a weird situation. And what it requires is what? We have to become humble. Many a times, what? We go and learn, we go and study Islam, because why? This one imam said something, so I want to prove him wrong. He needs to be proven wrong. He told me something that I didn't like, so I have to go and study Islam QA in Google, Sheikh Mufti Google, and I have to go and give him a fatwa back. Right, so we're studying for what? لِيُمَارُوا بِهِ الْعُلَمَا. The Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْعِلْمَ لِيُمَارِيَ بِهِ الْعُلَمَا أَوْ يُجَالِيَ بِهِ السُّفَهَا. The Prophet ﷺ said, oh, قَمَا قَالِهِ الصَّلَاةُ والسلام, that people who go study knowledge to debate with the scholars, or people who go to study knowledge to argue, to pull the fools, meaning the ignorant people who come to them and say, wah, wah, to their bayans. The Prophet said they won't even have the fragrance of Jannah in the hereafter. We ask Allah for protection. What we require, my brothers and elders and sisters in Islam, is that we have to revive our education. The Prophet, and I'm not denying what people have studied. Alhamdulillah, I respect doctors, I respect engineers. I myself have a degree, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. I respect all that ulum. Well, what the Prophet designed was a community of engineers, of businessmen. But they were all devoted to how can we learn Islam. That was their life. Umar will go and work. Umar will go and work. But he saw that every day he would be working, he'd miss a day with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he went to one Sahabi and said, yeah, oh, so-and-so, my friend, can we take turns? I'll work one day, and I'll get the money for the day, and you go to the Prophet alayhi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you learn. And then at nighttime, you come and tell me what you learned. And then you go work the next day, and I'll go. And then that way we won't lose our money and our occupations, at the same time we'll be learning the deen of Islam. That's what they did. They wanted their entire life to be what? How can we build this deen? That's what they spent it on. They said, all right, we have extra funds. How do we build a masjid? We have extra funds. How do we build a madrasa? We have extra funds. How do we build a place for people to learn Quran? How do we build a place for converts? How do we build a place for people, for sisters to learn their education? They're all trying to learn and learn and learn. And subhanAllah, one of the weakest parts of our community is our sister folk. is the women folk, that they have very little education about Islam. And as if no husband wants to tell their families, and I'm not denying it, mashallah, we have good husbands here, but as if there's very few families that ever, their husbands actually tell their wives about what they learned, and what's important to learn, about the deen. And many parents out there will never tell their kids about Islam at all, and then they have to come to the maktab and learn it. I'm telling you, if your kid is reading 2 hours in the of Quran in the masjid, you should read 2 hours at home too. So that way he knows that I'm just not being given the short stick. That way I have to read this because I'm young. And when I get older, I don't have to read the Quran anymore. Because that's what they understand. What is this benefit of this knowledge? There's so many hadiths on this topic. The Prophet ﷺ said it so beautifully. He told Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, and this is really about education. Really about learning Islam. The Prophet ﷺ said, he said, Abu Dharr, if you were to memorize one ayah of the Quran, if you were to memorize one ayah of the Quran, that's better than praying 100 rakats of prayer. The Prophet ﷺ said, it's better than praying 100 rakats of prayer. And then he said, oh Abu Dharr, but if you were to understand one single chapter of Islam, whether it be about Tahara, or Salah, or Zakat, whatever the chapter of Islam is, you learn it, it's better than 1,000 rakats of prayer. This is what the Prophet ﷺ said. So Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he came in one time to the masjid. He saw one group of people making dua to Allah. He saw some of them making dua and making dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he saw another group talking about halal and haram, zabiha, masail, and all these other things, mashallah ta'ala. He saw the Prophet ﷺ seeing them discussing about Islam. And the Prophet ﷺ said, he one Sahabi was with him, and he says that this group here is making dua to Allah, and they're making dhikr. Perhaps Allah will answer them, perhaps Allah will not answer them. Then the Prophet says, but this group here, mashallah, are studying Islam. And I've been only sent, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ مُعَلِّمًا. The Prophet ﷺ said, I've only been sent as a teacher. The Prophet ﷺ said about a person, and many people say this, they go and say that, what's the point of the halaqah every week? What's the point of the halaqah every week? You know, people are just going to listen and go home, listen and go home, listen and go home. Yeah, subhanAllah, we're not here to, our maqsad and our niyah is what? I have to convey ilm. I have to convey a knowledge. The way I can convey it, I'm going to convey it. And if even one heart is changed, alhamdulillah, if no heart's changed, my ears are the closest to my mouth. I will take the benefit and I'll take it home, inshallah ta'ala. But the benefit is what? The Prophet ﷺ said, لَا يَشْبَعْ مُؤْمِنٌ مِّنْ خَيْرٍ يَسْمَعُهُ حَتَّى يَكُونَ مُنْتَهَا وَالْجَنَّةِ. The Prophet ﷺ said, a believer is never satisfied with any good that he listens to. He comes back every single week to listen to more khayr. Until the last place, and the Nabi ﷺ says, he's going straight to Jannah. This is what the Prophet ﷺ said. Nabi ﷺ said about a man who goes to the masjid to just learn something about Islam, or a person who comes to teach something about Islam. The Prophet ﷺ said they're both fighters in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If any of them were to die, they become shaheed. This is the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. One time Abu Darda radiallahu anhu was in the masjid, and he was in Damascus. One man comes in, he looks like he's traveled a very long distance. And so then Kathir ibn Qais rahimahullah ta'ala says, Abu Darda brings that man forward. The man comes to Abu Darda and says, oh Abu Darda, the Sahabi of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, oh Abu Darda, I want to learn a hadith from you. I want to learn a hadith from you. And he goes and says, where are you coming from? He said, I came from Medina. Where is he? Damascus. Dimashq in Syria, in Syria. He said, I came from Medina to learn one hadith from you. And Abu Darda asked him, he said that, did you come for anything else? And he goes and says, no, I did not come for anything else. There's no business here. I just want to learn one hadith. And the people think this is strange. This is not strange at all. In the community of Islam, the study of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ was the greatest of all ulum. Because it was the tafsir of the Quran. You wanted to know what the Quran is saying? You go to the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. You want to know what Islam is? You go to the Prophet ﷺ. You study the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. This is the most neglected of all fields in all of America. Everyone else wants to study Quran, 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 Quran. But the Prophet ﷺ is the walking Quran. How can you study it without him alayhi salatu wasalam? And so you find the Sha'bi rahimahullah ta'ala, who narrated hadith to his students. He's a great muhaddith, he's a great hadith scholar. He said that I went for days on end from Kufa to Medina, from Iraq to Medina, Iraq to Medina, back and forth, just to learn a couple of hadith that you're learning today. Sa'id ibn Musayyib said the same thing. Ibn Manda rahimahullah ta'ala, he comes home after 40 years. After 40 years of studying. Right, he comes back with a camel load of like stuff, like tons and tons of camels are behind him. Because why? Because he ventured. He went around to the different places in the Muslim community, in the Muslim world. He'd go from this city, from Medina to Makkah to Basra to Kufa to Iraq, Iran to Syria to Damascus, wherever he could go, to Misr, to Egypt, wherever he could go to study. He would study and study and study. And you know when you come back from a travel, you try to bring something back for your family? You know, like I went to Paris, so I'll get a nice little Eiffel Tower. Show my family, I went and came back with a souvenir, right? He comes back with his camel load of stuff after 40 years of his quote-unquote alim course. Right? People are like, brother, the 6-year alim course is way too long. We need an even shorter course. Make usul al-fiqh in a weekend. La ilaha illallah, I don't want to. Because this is uloom, it has a haq. If you wanna study medicine, there's a certain procedure. You gotta go through the years. You gotta go sitting under the tutelage of an actual scholar, a doctor, right? He's a doctor, he's a scholar of medicine, right? He is someone who's qualified it to teach it. You want everything short and sweet, man? This is not, we're not teaching an American Islam, you know, this is Islam. Ibn Manda spent 40 years going around. He left 25, came back 65. And he came back with all this camel, and his family's like, "Oh, Abuji, we haven't seen you for 40 years. You must have brought back some great stuff." He's like, "Yeah, I brought back the best stuff. The hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam." He said, "All this hadith I wrote by my hand. I brought them out back for you all, because this is the best of all things, of all treasures. He gives the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam." Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, this man comes, and he goes and says, "Abu Darda, I came to learn a hadith." Abu Darda radiallahu anhu says, "I have a hadith for you." He says, "Man salaka tariqan yabtadhi bihi ilman sahara Allahu bihi tariqan ilal jannah." Abu Darda radiallahu anhu starts his beautiful hadith. He says, "Whoever traverses a path to learn knowledge, Allah will make his path easy for him into Jannah." Subhanallah. And the hadith doesn't stop there. He goes and says, وَإِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَ لَتَضِعُ أَجْنِحَةَ لِطَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ رِضًا بِمَا يَصْنَعُ. And the angels, they lower their wings, and they humble their wings, and they put their wings down so that the student of knowledge steps on their wings while he's walking. Because they're happy with what he's learning. Because why? Because in the beginning of time, when Allah Ta'ala brought out Adam alayhi salam, that Allah Ta'ala challenged Adam alayhi salam against the angels. And what happened was what? The angels lost that battle. What was the battle? The battle of education and knowledge. Adam alayhi salam defeated them in there, and Allah Ta'ala told the angels, "Lower your wings now, so make sajda to him." Right? So they remember that, and they say that this is another khalifa of Adam alayhi salam on the earth. So they respect that person afterwards. This entire world has been built upon ilm, upon knowledge. And the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, he said, the sign of the day of judgment is that knowledge will be taken up. And how do you know knowledge is taken up? When the scholars are gone. This is what we're talking about here. We have many people, mashallah, that have really good intentions again. Really good intentions. But many of us have never even studied or sat down with someone to actually study and learn. We picked up one point from here, one point from there, one point from there. We're just putting things together, whatever we heard. We go to YouTube, we put all our bayans together. That's all we have. We have this internet connection, this Sheikh Google type of Islam that we learn. We never actually sit down and learn something properly or thoroughly. And then we want to go and convey Islam to others. I'm saying there's a danger in that. What is the danger? مَنْ فَسَّرَ الْقُرْآنَ بِرَأِيهِ فَقَدْ أَخْطَأَ وَإِنَ أَصْوَابٍ. The Prophet ﷺ said in Hadith Abu Dawud, more or less, that whoever interprets the Qur'an by his own opinion, he's wrong even if he's right, the Prophet ﷺ said. He said, he's wrong even if he's right, the Prophet ﷺ said. The Prophet ﷺ said in another hadith, whoever tries to convey the Qur'an through his opinion, فَلْيَتَبَوَّأْ مَقَعَدُهُ مِنَ النَّارِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. So the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever tries to interpret the Qur'an by his own interpretation, then let him prepare his seat in the fire of Jahannam. It's important. Why? Because why? You get people who are just, you know, the shake and bake type of sheikhs, right? The shake and bake type of sheikhs. That they'll give you every fatwa you want. You pay the grand mufti a grand, he's good to go. Right? That's how people are. They don't convey their ilm that the way they want, that they should convey it. And I'm not denying any scholar's intentions. May Allah protect the ulama and keep them safe, mashallah ta'ala. But what I'm saying is what? Life is tough. Sometimes people will push and push and push. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, someone kept pushing him for a fatwa. He said, give us a fatwa. And he keeps saying, no, there's no fatwa on this. And then his students came to him and said, oh, Shaykh, if you just gave them the fatwa, it would have been over. He said, no, these people want to make our backs bridges above Jahannam for them. Right? They want to walk on our backs over Jahannam. They want us to go into the fire and then walk over straight. Right, أَجْرَاكُمْ عَلَى الْفُتْيَ أَجْرَاكُمْ عَلَى النَّارِ. The Prophet ﷺ said more or less, he said, whoever is more audacious, whoever tries to jump onto fatwas, to give a fatwa right away, because everyone wants to become mufti sahab, right? It's nice to become mufti sahab, because everyone comes to you, right? Whoever is more quick to give a fatwa, the Prophet said, that's more person who's more quick to go to the fire of Jahannam. We ask Allah for protection. Abu Darda radiallahu talks about a true scholar that he says, وَإِنَّ الْعَالِمَ لَيُسْتَغْفِرُ لَهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ حَتَّى الْحَيْتَانَ فِي الْمَاءِ. The Prophet ﷺ said, that the true scholar is someone that even the heavens, all the creatures of the heavens, all the angels of the heavens, and all the creatures of the earth, and even the fish in the sea, the fish in the water, they all make dua for his forgiveness. The Prophet ﷺ continues, and he goes and says, وَفَضُلُ الْعَالِمِ عَلَى الْعَابِدِ كَفَضُلُ الْقَمَرِ عَلَى سَائِلِ الْكَوَاكِبِ. And he says that the virtue of a scholar over all other worshippers is like the virtue of the moon over the other stars, that his brightness is so great. MashaAllah, her brightness is so great that she illuminates the road for other people who are traveling. And the Prophet ﷺ continued, he said, وَإِنَّ الْعُلَمَاءُ وَرَثَةُ الْأَنْبِيَاءُ. And he goes and says, he puts the kicker at the end. He says that the scholars are the inheritors of the prophets. SubhanAllah. And the Innal Anbiya lam yuwarithu dinan wala dirhama. And the ulama, the Anbiya, the scholars didn't leave anything behind other dirham or dinar. They didn't leave any money behind. وَإِنَّمَا وَرَثُهُ الْعِلْمِ. They only left behind knowledge. فَمَنْ أَخَذَهُ أَخَذَ بِحَذٍ وَافِرٍ. Whoever takes it with takes a huge portion. They take a huge portion. The Prophet ﷺ said about people who have become learned. He says that I'm like a rain cloud. The Prophet ﷺ said, I rain over every single land. And there are certain people who, mashallah, the Prophet ﷺ said, are like really fertile land. And so everything grows on them. They're like grass, mashallah, that grows really well. And there's another part of land that when the water hits them, it just, they're like good containers. So they contain all the water. They contain all the water, and people can come and get water from them. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, there are certain flat lands that don't take any water at all. They just kind of like, they don't receive anything. The Prophet ﷺ said, there are certain people in this world that, mashallah, they'll benefit people so tremendously because of the ilm of the Prophet ﷺ. They're like that green, fertile land. And then the Prophet ﷺ said that some people may not even understand what they have, but they have a nice container of ilm, and they try to hand it out to everyone. And then the Prophet ﷺ said about the third category, that some people just end up not benefiting at all. What we want, inshallah ta'ala, is that people, mashallah, here, first and foremost, respect the scholars. I'm not saying a scholar is someone who studied for 4 years or 6 years or even 10 years or whatever it might be. You know a scholar when you see them. You know a scholar when you see them. Our Shaykh Mawla Abdul Malik, Dawud Barakatum, he goes and says, that a scholar is someone that when you see them, you see that they have humility. You see that they have adab. You see they have akhlaq. If you see that, you know you found a scholar. If you didn't find it, you didn't find a scholar yet. You have to keep looking and searching. Oh, mashallah, what we want is, alhamdulillah, rabbil alamin, we want to produce scholars. We want to produce ulama. Many a times what we find is, subhanAllah, in this community in Massachusetts, there was once a time in order to find someone for Taraweeh, they had to call people from overseas. Then subhanAllah, they found people in America. Then subhanAllah, you find people in Massachusetts. SubhanAllah, you find people in Burlington now, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. They go everywhere now. What we need now is as well, we need people who can give khutbas. We need people who can give halaqas. We need people who can give dars. We need people who can become imams. But we don't have it because we're trying to get everyone from outside. Whereas we have very good students here, mashallah, if they spend a couple of years studying, they become the scholars, inshallah ta'ala. So what do we find? Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahimahullah ta'ala said, "Kun aliman, aw muta'alliman, aw mustami'an, aw muhibban li'ilm, wa la takun al-khamis fa tahlik." He goes and says, you should become a scholar. Or if you don't like to, if you can't become a scholar, become a learner of this knowledge. He said, if you can't become a learner of this knowledge, become someone who loves to hear this knowledge. And he said, if you can't become a person who can hear this, loves to hear this knowledge, become a lover of this knowledge. I can't have the time to sit, but I'll spend and spend and spend and spend, so that way these kids can go and study, inshallah ta'ala. And he said, don't become the fifth one. The fifth one, you'll be destroyed. Don't become someone who hates the knowledge. Don't become a person who hates the scholars. Because there's no good in people who hate the inheritance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I've seen what happens to such people. It's not a good end for them. People think that, subhanAllah, the entire world will be saved because of this and this and this. I'll tell you how it's going to be saved. When people have their education of Islam. When people learn their Islam, Allah will provide rizq from so many different ways. You'll find this entire community everywhere in Massachusetts, everywhere in the world. Allah will give such rizq. One person came, sorry, I'm a little over time, but one person came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Ya Rasulullah, my brother spends the entire day with you. It's authentic hadith in Riyadh al-Salihin. He said, my brother spends the entire day with you, he's learning, right? But I work. And this guy is just coming to you learning hadith and hadith and hadith. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell him to go get a job. Tell him to go get a job. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La'allaka turzaku bihi. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, perhaps, shayid, aapki risk iski wasila se aata hai. He said, perhaps you're, because of him, you're getting your risk. He said, because of him, people think that, subhanAllah, people are doing financially well because of whatever they've done. Perhaps it's because there's a scholar Allah Ta'ala wants to provide for. So you became the sabab for that provision. Allah Ta'ala is saying, because the people are studying their knowledge, Allah Ta'ala will provide everyone with risk. So alhamdulillah, we're starting this course here in Burlington Masjid. Alhamdulillah, after a couple of years, mashallah, and a lot of discussion and deliberation, alhamdulillah, bin Alameen, in about, I think, January 13th, right? January 13th, inshallah, we're starting this part-time alim course. To help these kids, mashallah, that want to go and study the knowledge of Islam, but they're not able to go out yet. You know, they have some other obligations and things like that, for example, high school or college or whatever. That's fine. But mashallah, what we want to do is get them started on the path. Let's not lose our children. Many times we get them from maktab up to 8th grade and then they're gone. I never see them again, right? The only time I see them is Taraweeh. It's very sad. It breaks my heart, right? You spend so much time with the student, and then he's gone because his parent doesn't come to the masjid anymore, so he's not going to come to the masjid anymore. So what happens is, mashallah, we're going to start this course, inshallah ta'ala. It's going to be after Isha, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 7:30 to about 8:30, maybe about 8:45, in parallel, saying, mashallah, that might need a bit more time. Yeah, something around there, inshallah. It's going to be a dedicated course. It will run the same alim course program, the Dars Nizami that we know. Mashallah, it's going to run that program. Again, it's for kids in high school and up. It can be boys and girls, mashallah, we're going to have them separated, of course, right? I'm going to put them together, right? MashaAllah, they're like, oh, what the heck are we talking about this one time, right? So the idea is that, subhanAllah, they will learn, inshaAllah ta'ala. I want, inshaAllah ta'ala, that all the students that are here, make a niyyah to join. Make a niyyah to join. At least try. At least try. Don't tell yourself, I can't do it. No, Allah will make a beautiful way for you. If you want to make a way for yourself, Allah will make it easy for you to Jannah, inshaAllah ta'ala. And it's not for just boys, it's for girls as well. We want everyone to participate. And if you feel like, man, subhanAllah, I missed this boat, then subhanAllah, what you do is what you contribute. These kids, mashallah, are going to need books. They're going to need a lot of areas to study and things like that. Maybe this building won't be enough when we get done with the system, inshallah ta'ala. You know, so maybe, inshallah, the best way you can provide is what? You contribute some money, some funds, so that way the students have a way to learn. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for all of us, that we can learn this knowledge, inshallah ta'ala. We can benefit from this knowledge, inshallah ta'ala. We can benefit the world with this knowledge, inshallah ta'ala. We ask Allah to save this world through this knowledge of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah ta'ala to give afiyah to all the Muslims all over the world, and give us tawfiq, inshallah ta'ala, to join Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jannah Firdaus. Ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. For those who make sunnah can do so, inshallah ta'ala.